Now, look here, Ibrahim, old chap. This is the third time you have been found guilty of raping underage girls. And normally, it would be incumbent upon me to pass a custodial sentence. However, new judicial guidelines mean that I have to take a number of points into account in calculating your sentence. First of all, you were brought up in a council estate in Lambeth, and consequently it can be said that you are from a deprived background. Secondly, neither of your parents went to university, and accordingly perhaps we can say that you were brought up in relative poverty. Thirdly, you have a low level of education. This is mainly because you stopped going to school at 13 because you just couldn't be bothered. But nevertheless, I must take this into account. And of course, you are a member of a BAME community. You are an ethnic minority. And this certainly means that you will be a victim of structural racism. And indeed, it may be argued that your raping of underage white girls brought up on council estates is an understandable means of venting your frustration against white privilege. This being the case, I sentence you to 6 months in prison, but I'm going to suspend the sentence for 2 years and request that you do 80 hours of unpaid community service. And hopefully this will teach you that raping underage girls is a really mean thing to do. Take him down. Posey Parker, you have been found guilty of saying in the privacy of your own home that in order to be a woman, you must have a vagina, and that in order to be a man, you must have a penis. This is a most egregious hate crime. I sentence you to 2 years in prison. Take her down. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today, I would like to talk about anarcho-tyranny, and I would like to talk about how we as a society are descending into anarcho-tyranny. This is where you have ideological fanatics that strongly police what you can and can't say, but do absolutely nothing about enforcing traditional laws, which means that society is increasingly dangerous and unruly, and that you're spending so much time thinking about how to look after yourself and to not be a victim of crime that you really don't have time to get together and try and oppose the authority in question. Before I do that, can I ask you please, please, please to subscribe? Could you subscribe here on YouTube, and also could you subscribe on my Substack, that's thejollyheretic.com, where I put all of the spiciest content, all of the stuff that I dare not put on YouTube, in-person interviews, all kinds of good fun, and where if you like what I do, you can support me for as little as the cost of a pint of beer a month. So please, please, please subscribe here and subscribe over on thejollyheretic.com. Right, so anarcho-tyranny. Anarcho-tyranny was a phrase that was coined by an American journalist by the name of Sam Francis. And the essence of it, as I said, is that the society is highly, highly doctrinaire. It enforces rigorously its ideology. It has all kinds of pseudo-religious dogmas and things which you can't question. Essentially, it has a morality which it very strongly enforces, and which those that are in charge of the society are able to ascend to their positions of power via this morality and say that they are the most moral, and therefore you cannot question the morality, because if you question the morality, you question the reason why they have power, and therefore you bring them down. So you mustn't be allowed to do this. So it has particular moral strictures that you cannot be allowed to question, such as the ideologies of multiculturalism, of environmental determinism, of all of the kind of woke ideologies, the idea that, you know, that we have where we are obsessed with equality and harm avoidance, and these people virtue signal that they are the most obsessed with equality and harm avoidance, and this gives them a moral power and they're allowed to be in charge. But then they do absolutely nothing about enforcing traditional law and order, about actually protecting the people. This means that the people live in a state of anarchy, in which the police will not protect them, in which criminals are allowed to run riot, and in which they basically have to be so concerned about looking after themselves and making sure they're not the victims of crime that they really don't have the time or the energy to be able to seriously challenge the government. So it's a really rather brilliant system, anarcho-tyranny, if you want to stay in power, and it is the system that we increasingly have. Why do we increasingly have it? Well, one of the reasons is because we have flipped over over from being a group-oriented society that is interested in structure and order and so forth, and tradition, and in-group loyalty, and obedience to traditional authority and sanctity of traditional ideas, to an individually-oriented society that is obsessed with the notions of anti-structure, i.e. of seeing all things that are powerful as bad and all traditions as bad and thus tearing them down, which is a left-wing way of seeing the world, of being obsessed with harm avoidance and then competitively signalling our obsession with harm avoidance, such that you get to a point where you say that it is wrong to harm criminals, it is wrong to punish criminals, you must sympathise with them, you must try to understand them, you must try and feel how they feel, and equality, this idea that we are all equal, and therefore it follows from this that you can't make assertions about traditional notions of right and wrong. The criminal is equal to you, the criminal must be understood and empathised with, the criminal's worldview is a difference of kind, not a difference of quality, and how dare you come down and say that there's a problem with it. So this leads to a situation via a sort of competitive virtue signalling on equality and harm avoidance, where you don't enforce the law against traditional criminals because you are so concerned with understanding the harm done to them, and you are so concerned with saying that they are the victims of an unequal society, that the crime is not their fault, that the crime is the fault of society, and therefore you give them increasingly light sentences, and therefore you allow them to run free, and therefore you have anarchy. Now, this is what is increasingly happening. It's been reported in the newspapers today that judges are being advised to give lighter sentences to convicted criminals via taking into account whether they are from deprived backgrounds, whether they are from impoverished backgrounds, whether they have low educational attainment, whether they have been the victims of discrimination, and whether they live in insecure housing. Now, what this basically means, the counter-argument is this is unfair. It means if you're middle class and you commit a crime, you will receive a harsher sentence than if you are working class and you commit a crime. It means that if you are white, you will receive a harsher sentence than if you are non-white. But, of course, it means more than that. Because one of the dogmas of multiculturalism, one of the dogmas of the leftist regime, is environmental determinism. Is this idea that you virtue signal and virtue signal about people all being equal, and you eventually say, well, we're all victims of something. Nothing is our fault. It's all to do with environment. But of course, it's not to do with environment. When you take twin studies and you take twin adoption studies, so you have twins that are raised apart, what you find is that approximately 50% of why it is that one person commits a crime and one person doesn't is genetic. 18% is a matter of shared childhood environment. So only 18% is a matter of background. Everything else is a matter of genetics and what the genetics causes you to do in adulthood. So what this means is that criminality is overwhelmingly genetic. It is mainly a product of genes. And this makes perfect sense, of course, because what are the traits that predict criminality? Well, one of them is low intelligence. Intelligence in adulthood is about 80% genetic. Overwhelmingly, it is a product of genes. The other is psychopathic personality, low impulse control, low rule following, low agreeableness, high neuroticism, meaning that you're temperamental and feel negative feelings strongly. These traits are between 50 and 70% genetic, based on twin studies. So what this policy would do by reducing, and these are the traits, of course, that predict criminality, but they are also the traits that predict socioeconomic status. Socioeconomic status across time seems to be about 70% genetic, and socioeconomic status is very substantially a reflection of intelligence and of personality. And indeed, intelligence predicts both socioeconomic status achieved and socioeconomic status born into, because of the strong genetic component. So if you reduce sentences for people because they are of low socioeconomic status, you are simply reducing sentences for criminals. Full stop. Because criminals are overwhelmingly likely to be of low socioeconomic status, because the traits, the genetic traits which predict being of low socioeconomic status, also predict criminality. Genetically, forget about the environment, the genetics of criminality is the same as the genetics of low socioeconomic status. So if you reduce the sentences on people because of their low socioeconomic status, all you are doing is giving criminals lighter sentences. And all you are doing is therefore creating a more dangerous society. As President Bukele in El Salvador has shown, all you have to do to basically pretty much abolish murder in your country is... Before I continue with the red pills, I must quickly remind you of a white pill. Whatever disasters we are going to witness, the world will keep spinning because the conservative and the religious are having more children than the progressives, meaning that eventually all spiteful mutants will be bred out of the gene pool and society will function once again like it used to. You've obviously heard this argument before from me, and I've developed it in my book, The Past is a Future Country, The Coming Conservative Revolution, with my co-author, Joe A. Rayner Hills. You should definitely read that book, but if you haven't got the time to read it, I can offer you a shortcut. There is, in fact, a very good summary of our core arguments available, which you can listen to in just under 20 minutes on Learjent.com. Learjent is a new app where you can read and listen to short summaries of all the key arguments of many based books. These are all under 25 minutes long, so you can finish the whole book while you're out and about, in the gym, or on your way to work. Now, you might have heard of some competitors with a similar offer, but the big difference is that you will never find my books or books as the bell curve on these platforms. Learjent, on the other hand, is a platform run by based people who specifically want you to know about my research and those of others like me. So go on to Learjent.com now and sign up my promo code TJH for a 10% discount.
Are you ready for the future of the West?